Folks, thank you very much for listening. For my faithful listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for all the feedback that I've gotten so far. And I've got a story for you. For the faithful listeners, the people who've been listening to me from the very beginning or who've been listening to me for a while, as you noticed, we went through a moment of silence there, so to speak. Yeah, probably that's the best way of putting it, a moment of silence. Now, what was that all about? Let me go into that a little bit before I continue my story today. You know, when you do this kind of thing, when you're telling your story and you're telling your story to the world, there's a time that you stop and listen, so to speak, and ask yourself some questions. There's been tremendous feedback, don't get me wrong, and I really appreciate you folks for the comments that you've shared with me. But you also ask yourself, is this for my ego, or is this doing somebody some good? Is there somebody who's benefiting from all this information? Is there somebody who is being entertained and picking up a little nugget here and there, right? Entertainment is great. Listening to the story and enjoying the story is all fair and dandy, but one hopes that there's a lesson. There's a nugget or two that one can drop that somebody else can pick up and better their situation and change their situation and improve their situation. That's the whole objective of this exercise. That's the whole objective of telling your story and sharing your story. It's not so much for the likes the fanfare that comes with it, but it's more of a service, isn't it? It's more of a, hey, this is what I went through. These are the mistakes that I've made. These are the lessons that I've learned. Maybe you can pick up on some of those things, and maybe you can go through your own process, your own life, and avoid some of the shortfalls, or maybe even learn from my mistakes and not repeat some of the things that I did wrong. So in questioning one's situation, you ask yourself whether this is for your ego, or are you serving? Are you helping? And I think that's where the silence came from. Just to re-examine the whole situation, just to re-examine the whole motivation behind it, right? Because when I started this, I said, if I can help one or two people, my job is done. I will feel fulfilled. And I've gotten a lot of response, you know, of people that have said, you know what, there's something that you said there that just got me going and that just put me on the right frame of mind, or put me a step ahead, or so on and so forth. So I'm grateful for those people. And I thank those people tremendously for all that feedback. I greatly appreciate it. So needless to say, those questions arose, those questions came up, and one had to reflect and make sure that the intention is correct. The motivation is correct. And the motivation is to help. The motivation is to encourage you. The motivation is to inspire you. The motivation is to tell you that you can do more. Tell you that you don't have to quit. Tell you that if you're determined, you can achieve whatever you set your mind at doing. That's what I'm trying to achieve. And by telling you some of my stories, some of my life, is to show you that even though there are setbacks, just like this one we're talking about, you can rise from those setbacks and be great. You can rise from those setbacks and prosper. You can rise from those setbacks and be successful. In fact, you need those setbacks. Because without those setbacks, I don't think there are enough lessons learned. Because in this moment of silence, I've learned a great deal about what I was trying to do, what I was trying to accomplish. And even if I was to have 5 listeners or 10 listeners, that's okay. Because to those 10 people, I've shared something that is important, that I feel is important, that I feel can help somebody else. I've shared a story that I believe can inspire somebody else. So even if it's 10 people or 5 people, that's okay. Would I want to inspire more people? Absolutely. But 10 is fine. 5 is fine. 3 is okay. 1 person is fine. Because for that one person, I've made a difference. For that one person, I can say, you know what? Or they can say, you know what? I was feeling this particular way. I was about to give up on a project, and I listened to the hardship that this guy went through with his own project. And that gave me some juice. It gave me some energy. It gave me some fuel to continue going. So anyway, it's interesting because it goes back to what I've talked about before, and that, you know, things happen in a particular way for a very good reason, because I think what this hiatus has done is that it has rejuvenated me, so to speak, and given me new life and a new perspective as to what this is about. And this is about you. This is about what you can get out of my story. This is about what you can benefit out of my story. If it's a good laugh, let it be. You need a good laugh every now and again. If you pick up something that you say, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that, and then it's wonderful too. But anyway, enough ranting about that. Episode 40 is a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful time. And I think it's ironic that this is episode 40. So I guess the irony comes from the fact that 40 is normally a mark or an age that one gets to and believes that they're turning the corner, so to speak, right? Turning the corner. So I guess that's why it's fitting that this is episode 40. Anyway, so I wanted to just continue with the story and discuss something that I think is very important. I know I've said it, and many other people have said it, that you learn more from failing than you ever will from succeeding. And I don't think there's any truer statement than that. But I don't think there are enough books written about failure, right? About being knocked out. There are not enough books. There's not enough literature out there about how many times somebody tried to do something and failed, and the lessons that those people learned in those failures. I think if we'd get more of that to come out and be shared, we'd all be in a better place. Because yes, they'll tell you, oh yeah, before I made these millions, I struggled, I declared bankruptcy 10 times, I did this and I did that. But nobody really goes into the minutia of it all, do they? Nobody really goes in and tells you exactly what happened. You know, some of the silly mistakes that we make, some of the shortfalls, all of those things, right? If we could all learn about those things, we'd be in a better position. Would be able to understand just what mistakes to avoid, what pitfalls to avoid, if we had a good understanding of all those people that are successful and just how they failed. Exactly what happened? Who did you trust? Who did you not trust? You know? That's I think would be extremely helpful. But anyway, here it is. Here's mom. You've heard, I think, the last episode talked about my failure, right? My being knocked out. And the irony too is that the time that I've spent the hiatus, so to speak, is in line with what I always say, that when you get knocked out, take a couple seconds. While you're still on the ground, while you're still on the mat, take a couple of seconds to figure out why you're knocked out. Because if you don't register that in your mind, if you don't commit that to memory, if you don't grasp it and understand it completely, what's going to happen? It's going to happen again, isn't it? You're going to be bitten by the same dog twice. And that's tragic when that happens. It's sad because it means you did not learn a damn thing when you ran into the obstacle the last time. So as I come back and I was telling you that I went back to work, it's a time that you are afforded yet another lesson. I was given the opportunity, I should say, or I was put in a situation, I should say, that would allow me to learn a lesson, a different kind of a lesson in humility, a bit of humble pie, so to speak. Because when I get back, obviously, I'm trying to pick up where I left off. But where I left off was pretty high in the corporate ladder, wasn't it? And those jobs are not a dime a dozen. They're not all over the place. People are not just waiting for you to come back from your endeavors. So that job is not there. So what do? Do you sit around the house and continue to deplete your savings? Or do you find something to do? Or do you have faith in that which you know? Are you prepared to start at the bottom? Because that's exactly what I do. Take a couple steps back. And when I mean a couple steps back, take a couple, two, three positions back from where I was, right? Take three positions back from where I was and plug myself into the system. That is the level that jobs can be found. At that level. Not entry level, but still. It's not where I was. So I take that job. And I take that job with a belief that I always have, is that, and I've said this time and time again, cream always rises to the top. I'm extremely competent at what I do, very good at what I do. So it doesn't bother me one bit to demote myself, so to speak, to put myself in a junior position, so to speak, to put myself on the production line. It doesn't bother me one bit because you know what? Because I know how it's done. I can do it over and over and over again. I can pick myself up and you can put me in any city and I'll still prosper because that's my art. That's my trade. That's what I do. So yes, I take a lesser position and I go to work. I've got other people now telling me what to do, how to do it. But that only lasts a few days. And they quickly realize the person we're telling what to do and how to do it already knows how to do and what to do. He probably knows it better than I do. Probably should be teaching me what to do. But nevertheless, I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to say, yes, thank you very much for the feedback. And I'm going to continue doing what I do. It doesn't take me 2 months to be on top of the leaderboard. I'm on it right away. So it is important for you to have something that you're really good at. Invest in yourself so that you can stand there and say, this I can do at any time with my eyes closed, with blindfolded, whatever it is, right? This is what I do. This is what I'm known for. Because only then when you have that level of understanding of a craft, can you then garner the respect in your industry? Only then can people look to you for advice. Only then can you rise to the top, like I always say. The cream always rises to the top because you know how it's done. If you take an experienced, a seasoned diesel mechanic and you give him a diesel engine that needs to be fixed, it doesn't matter what you call him, right? It doesn't matter what title you give him in that shop. Whether you call him our newest mechanic or entry-level mechanic or mechanic one or mechanic A or whatever name you give this person, whatever title, wherever you place him in the corporate hierarchy, this guy is going to show you how good he is. He's going to fix this engine like nobody else can, and do it again and again and again. That, my friends, is expertise. It's honing a craft. Are you honing your craft? Are you known for what you do? It doesn't matter what it is, though. You know what I mean? It could be anything. You could be a mechanic. You could be a dishwasher. You could be whatever it is. But I promise you, if I wash those dishes, they're going to know that I did it because of the quality of the work, because of the time that it takes me to do it, because of the result itself. It has got my autograph. My work has got my autograph, right? So take pride in what you do. Be the best at what you do. Only then can you be marketable. Only then will jobs look for you. Only then will you not need a resume, and your reputation speaks for itself. When people want a mechanic, they don't need to go to the newspapers. They don't need to put an ad on Monster.com or Hiology or anywhere else. Because the minute they open their mouth and say, I'm looking for a mechanic, I'm looking for a dishwasher, I'm looking for a gardener, I'm looking for a maintenance guy, I'm looking for a plumber, somebody's going to raise their hand real quick and say, Mary is the best diesel mechanic you can ever have. I've got her number. In fact, I'll give it to you right now. You need to call her because when it comes to diesel engines, no one is better. No one is better. When it comes to landscaping, no one is better. Call John. John is your man. Now, do you have those people in your corner? Or rather, I should say, does your work, does your quality of work allow you to have those people that will stop a conversation and throw your name in the hat? Do you have people that speak your name in important rooms in your absence? And folks, it's not because they like you. Yes, they like you, but it's mostly because of the quality of your work. It is because they know you're reliable. It is because they know you're good at what you do. So I go in and I do my thing. And in less than 2 months, they're calling me in to talk to me about some other opportunities. We want to talk to you about this opportunity or that opportunity. Why? Yes, I'm a likable guy. At least I like to think I am. But it's because of the quality of my work. That's why. So work on yourself, folks. Work on yourself. If you do that, you guarantee yourself a future. You guarantee yourself a legacy if you work on yourself. Somebody said, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. And it really goes hand in hand, because if you work hard on yourself, you're working hard at becoming the best that you can be at what you do, thereby becoming the best employee that you can be, the best at your craft, right? That's what that means. Now, you go and do it. You go and do it. Have them ask you how much you want. How much do you want in order for you to take this job? What will it take for you to accept this offer?